But for him, because he was perfect. But it was not punishment for us. And we know that at one point we're going to die, and we see that death is not joy. Death is sadness, isn't it? If you go to a funeral home, how many people do you see? I've never been, but I've seen it on TV, and I look forward to the day that I can go down to New Orleans and see a funeral down there that's done out in the streets where they've got the trombones and the horns and playing and the rejoicing that they do. Isn't that really what it should be about? As Christians, we leave this world to do what? Go to a perfect world. If that's not exciting, why are we so sad? Sadness is, yes, we're going to miss our loved ones. That will be true. But it's not a goodbye, never see you again type deal as people look at it. It is a goodbye, I'll see you in a little while. Because as Christians, we're all going to be there together. And so that's a day of rejoicing, isn't it? We sing it. There's a day of rejoicing. We need to rejoice. 1 John 3, verse 1 says, "How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God." Lavish means to pour on, to cover up with. Can you imagine that? God covering His blessings upon us, just showering us with it. That's what we're talking about here today. That's what the joy is all about. Lavishing. God is lavishing upon us His love, His wants, His desires. And so that should be a day of rejoicing. And thirdly, we see it will increase our faith and hope. We see Paul writes in Colossians 1:12, "Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light." Talk about a bright future. Now that's a bright future that God is going to give thanks. He has qualified us to inherit the kingdom. We get to inherit and become inheritance of the saints of the kingdom of light. And so that is another reason to rejoice. We see that we will come. Thank God, because one day we will spend eternity with Him. But we need to practice now on earth loving God, thanking God. We're going to do it when we get to heaven. We might as well start doing it now, hadn't we? And so we should be walking around with our faith increasing, our hope and free. You know, I don't care what dictator in foreign countries could overpower the United States and conquer the whole world. If Hitler had have done it, can you imagine what we'd have lived in? But there is always hope in Jesus Christ. As I shared with you not too long ago, Dr. John Upton is president of the Baptist World Alliance. The people that he has gotten to meet in other countries, people that have other religions as their major religions, and look at him and say, "Would you pray for us?" Doors are opening. In one country, the Christians were being tortured. They were being beat up. And every time they met, they'd raid and all this. And so Dr. Upton asked the president, he says, "How come this is going on?" And he looks over at his secretary and he says, "Is this happening?" And the guy dropped his head and said, "Yes." And this dictator looked at his secretary and says, "This will happen no more." You see how God is working? When we have faith in Him, He works. Here, this guy was not even a Christian, and he looks at his secretary and he says, "The Christians in our country will not be tortured anymore as of right now." That brings doors open, doesn't it? And so you see, God can do the same thing with us. He can open up doors for us. He can give us that one. And then fourthly, it will encourage others. As we think about that, how do we encourage others? In sports, I know all about it. I've done it all my life, and I know how to encourage one another. We encourage one another. If you're playing baseball, you don't encourage your teammates to go up there and strike out, do you? You encourage them to go up there and get a hit. And if they'd strike out, then you say, "That's all right, you'll do better." You give them that word of encouragement, don't you? And we see that in things that we do. If we want to make it, we have to encourage one another. Well, isn't that what we need to do in church? How much encouragement do you get outside of church, on your job, in the community, in other things that you do? Sometimes even in the homes that you live in. Where do you get your encouragement from? So we need to encourage one another. And if we do encourage one another, we can give thanks. And because of that, we can encourage one another. In the first verse, it is good to praise the Lord. It is good to praise it, he said. And then he comes on and he says, not only is it good to praise the Lord, but to make music to your name, O Most High. We need to enjoy our time of fellowship with him, here together and at home. And when we can do that, and when we go around singing. Now, you know, there's people on your jobs that will whistle, hum, and some actually have the audacity to sing that can't sing. But they do it anyway. And you know, if you're listening to the radio, every now and then you get a song stuck in your head, and you sing it all day long. I don't know about you, but I do. My wife hates when I get a song stuck in my head, because I will sing it all day long, off key and everything else. But you know, if people began to hear us humming praise hymns, hymns out of the hymnal, quoting scriptures, and they see us smiling and enjoying life, it's going to encourage them to do what? Hey, guys, what do you got there? How come you're so happy? Why are you so excited? And then you look at them and say, because I got the love of Jesus. You know? We think we've got to go knock on doors and we've got to be bold to go out and witness. And we don't have to do that. God didn't say go knock a door down. God didn't say take the Bible and beat them over the head with it. But God said take it in love. Take it in love. We want to be magnets that draw, don't we? We want to draw people to Jesus Christ because of what they see within us, not because of what this church is doing, and it is doing good things, don't get me wrong. But what is the biggest? The biggest is the individuals, isn't it? We are the ones that are being the drawing card. If people see Christ in us, they're going to want it too. And that's what he's all about, encouraging one another. And then the last thing we see is it will bring joy unto God. As I said earlier, my parents love for me to say thank you and I love you. God rejoices when we offer up thanksgiving. God don't need this money down here. He don't need a penny of it. That's not the offering we're talking about this morning. We're talking about offering us. We are the sacrifices. We are offering ourselves up to God this morning. We're raising our hands, our eyes, and we're looking to God and say, God, I am yours and I want to serve you. That is what he's looking for us to yield to him. And when we yield to him, there is rejoicing. There is rejoicing. I did not always live the life of a Christian. And when I did, I usually backslid. I love the themes, only one life to live, live it as a blonde. And I did. Get all the gusto you can. Enjoy life. And I tried it. But you know what? You can't get enough of that because it's temporal. It only happens for a little bit. Why does an alcoholic drink and drink and drink? They get drunk, they get high, and then when they start coming back down off the high, they got to do what? Drink some more. Same thing with drugs. You take it, you get high, then when you start coming down, what do they got to do? If they don't take anything else, they're going to bottom out and crash. So they're going to take more drugs to stay high. Folks, you don't have to do that with God. God says, I will give you a natural high that will last forever. Not just for a little dose, but forever. But we do get doses, don't we? We get it with singing groups coming in. We get it when we go on retreats. We get it when good things happen. And so we should be getting those doses every Sunday in church. We should come together, and when we worship God and we give him our all, when we commit to him, then he will be praised. He will be excited. And to look at God and say, thank you, God. I love you for what you've done for me. Remembering that he is the one who has recorded all these verses. He's the one that told us all about thanksgiving. He is the one that has given it to us. Not just put it in words, but given it to us. and said, here, I want you to enjoy it. He cares for us, and He does meet our needs whether we deserve it or not. We're entering into this season of Thanksgiving, and I know there's all of this preparing to doing, and there's a lot of the things that are happening, and that's great. Families are getting together, new relationships are being built, and that is good too. But not forget, God made it all possible. None of it. None of it. There's no limit upon God's goodness. Why should we cease to give Him thanks? Aren't you glad that there's an unlimited tap system? Yeah. Wouldn't it be nice if we could just go to the gas tanks anytime we wanted to, stick the nozzle in there, fill our tanks up, drive off, come back, fill it up, and have a never-ending tab on it? Wouldn't it be great? Well, folks, you've got that with God. And He's not gouging the prices either. He is giving us an unlimited tap. Paul told us to pray without ceasing, didn't he? I challenge you to change that around just a little bit. Give thanks without ceasing. With prayer, there should be thanksgiving, shouldn't there? And so we should put the two together. And we should pray with thankfulness as we should continue to pray without ceasing. Part of that prayer should be the thankfulness. And so we should constantly thank God for everything. One of the first things out of your mouth when you almost have a collision, oh, thank God. Right? Why? Why did we say that? And really didn't mean it. It's just something that comes out of our mouths because everybody else says it. But shouldn't it really be a praise? Thank God that I wasn't in that wreck. Thank God that nobody was hurt. Thank God, even in times of discouragement. When you're in a wreck, thank God if nobody's hurt, we can thank God nobody's wrecked. Cars can be replaced, can't they? Things can be replaced. We can't be replaced. We're one of a kind. Now, I've never been able to see it. All I know is you see white stuff fall out of the sky, and they all look the same to me. But scientists have said that snowflakes, each one has its own identity. And each snowflake is different. There are no two snowflakes alike. I do know this. There are no two of us exactly alike. We all have our own identities that was given to us by God. We should be thankful for it, shouldn't we? I'm thankful for everything that God has given me. And yes, I am guilty, as charged, for not thanking Him enough. What about you this morning? Are you thankful? Are you thankful enough? Have you given enough thanks to God lately? Or have you let it just kind of slide under the radar? Well, He already knows. He knows I'm thankful. Yeah, He does know. But just like parents, don't we like to hear it? Even though we know our kids are thankful, it would be nice to hear it. God says, I would like for my children to say it also, to be thankful. So as we celebrate this year with the turkey and the ham and all of the good stuff that goes with it and the pies and the desserts and all of that, are we thankful for what God has given us? Let us pray. Father, we thank You for this day that You've given us and this opportunity to look into Your Word. And it is a good thing to give thanks, Father. And help us to be thankful people more than we've ever been before. And that we can be thankful in all things, Father, because we know that You are always with us. Thank You for Your Word this morning. And I pray that Your Word has challenged each one of us. And that each one of us will be challenged this week to serve You and to serve others. And to stay thankful when they have been served. For it's in Your most precious and holy name we pray. Amen.